The O'Leary Review Podcast, Episode 20. The O'Leary Review Podcast, bringing you conversations that matter. Get ready for serious content amidst an oftentimes unserious culture. All right, welcome back, O'Leary Review Podcast. Brian O'Leary here with you. Today I got with me Trista Roberts, and she has a podcast called, Trista, if I'm incorrect here, it's Classic Children's Books.
Yes, very simple, straight to the point.
Yeah, I kind of outthought myself, but yeah, it's Classic Children's Books, and what you do is you narrate classic children's books. Pretty simple, right?
Exactly. Yep. So, I was going to say, I've been taking old stories. Right now, I'm working through Andrew Lang's Blue Fairy book, and I just am trying to bring those old stories to life.
Yeah. So these are what, from what I've listened to, what I would probably call them fairy tales to some degree, but I think the fairy tales we probably grew up with, most of us in the American culture anyway, have way more to do with the Disney-fied aspect of these classic children's books, which come largely from continental Europe, right?
Yeah. One of the things I found really interesting with finding Andrew Lang is one of the things that got me into this is that most of our stories today for kids have been very Disney-fied, as you've said, very standard plots. There's not a lot of deviation in Disney. They take a lot of old stories and, you know, clean them up to the image that they want. And one thing I found interesting with Andrew Lang is that he actually started gathering fairy tales in his time period because he was tired of that fact that all the fairy tales in England were being cleaned up and made pretty for children. And he thought that it was better to read the older ones that had the endings that you didn't expect, or things didn't always turn out right. It wasn't always pretty. Sometimes it was, sometimes it wasn't, because life isn't always pretty.
Right. When was Lang, when was he collating all this stuff?
The Blue Fairy book was published in 1889, and he was already a literary scholar.
Okay.
So it was part of his life's work. And he did it with the help of his wife and several women who helped him with translations.
Okay. And then it's just been passed down essentially for, well over 100 years, close to 140 years now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're working your way through this, the Lang canon, if you will. What plans on the next book or next series, or is this just a giant project that you're going to?
Well, the fairy books are definitely a giant project because he has 13 total fairy books, all of them named after a color. But I don't want to stick just with Lang.
Okay.
I'm going to also work on doing other ones.
Mm-hmm.
One story I have that I'm working on is called The Headswoman, and it is about a young lady who inherits the role of town executioner when her father passes away because she's the only child. And it normally passes down to the male heir, but she's the only one. And so a lot of hilarity ensues on that one. And then there's also another set of stories, the Peterkin Papers, which is about a family that just is really bumbling and simpletons. Kind of think Amelia Bedelia with how they just kind of mess everything up.
I can think Amelia Bedelia, but I got to go back close to 40 years.
Right. But so they have a wise person who typically helps them get out of it in the end. And that one is going to be a little slower going because I'm trying to pull my husband in on that one to help me with the voices. To keep the family,
and
to have the male voices and female separate.
Yeah. Is he the male character voice that we hear every once in a while?
Yes, every once in a while.
He did
the wolf for me, and he did the beast for me. But he is a full-time engineer, so pulling him in is not always easy.
Yeah, it's a project. So when you cut these, what is your ideal time stamp, time frame? Do you just want to do the whole story? Or I can't remember if you cut them in pieces or like what What's the ideal time, I guess, you want to do these?
Well, the very first one I did end up cutting because I really wasn't sure how long it was going and was still learning a lot.
Right.
But the way I've been trying to do it since then is I don't want something so short that it's like only 5 minutes. So like Little Red Riding Hood got lumped in with another one because it was very short because it ended with the wolf eating Little Red Riding Hood and nobody came to save him.
Yeah.
But then there have been some other short ones that end up closer to the story itself, probably 10 minutes. And then I have a little background information.
Uh-huh.
But then I have had, I believe my longest one was an hour.
Okay.
So, and I did also have a comment where someone had specifically mentioned that they like hearing a story all in one go. So,
right.
I've taken that to heart.
Yeah. And that's an interesting point that your listener brought up, because I remember even back growing up listening to radio stories, and it'd be an episodic. This is not something I did actively or often, but you know, the radio was still pretty much king. Television, yes, but radio was still the audio medium that we almost all listened to, and you could tune into whatever channel. But often there, and it wasn't clearly like in the 80s as it was in like the 30s or 40s, but you'd have episodic, whether it be like books on tape type of thing or just radio shows. And a lot of them were replays of old ones, but those were episodic and really cut down into the chunks that the radio station needed it to. Now, the beauty I find of podcasting is that there's no rules as far as that goes. So you can do whatever you think your listener will enjoy the best. And I think you're onto something. Long way of saying it, but I think you're onto something saying like, well, my readers, the feedback I get, or my listeners anyway, get the feedback I get, this is where we're going to take them. So I think congratulations for realizing that.
And that is definitely something that has changed a lot recently with media, because media used to be very time scheduled into radio or television as it went, and had to fit around also putting in ads and everything else, where with the new media, with podcasting and YouTube and everything else, there aren't those constraints. So you can really make something last the amount of time it needs to last in order to complete the story. Or if it is something that is a much longer episodic story, it's easier to find a good stopping spot rather than forcing it into a half hour or 1 hour window with multiple ad breaks. So,
yeah, well, it's not exactly where I had planned going, but whatever, you know, we're on a podcast, for crying out loud. We're not on a radio show. So so I wanted to talk a little bit more about the podcasting and your podcast in particular. Now, well, we met each other through the Tom Woods School of Life. And I want to get to that in a bit, but not right now. I got more pressing idea right on the tip of my brain. So you have been essentially an evangelist for Fountain.fm. And I didn't know much what to think of it at the time. And it took me, not only you hounding like, dude, get your podcast on there, it's free money, and this, that, and the other. And other people saying, finally, I flipped the switch, use your affiliate link, and I'm off to the races. And you've been, like I said, you've been the one evangelist that I know, like literally evangelizing this platform, Fountain.fm. And I thank you for it. And it's now my podcast app of choice for many reasons. But anyway, explain your relationship with Fountain.fm if you have any, other than it just being nice to use.
Yeah, I actually found Fountain FM through two podcasters that I listened to who started trying to switch their listeners over. One was Bitcoin Audible, and the other was the Survival Podcast. And when I first heard about it was with Guy Swan, and I checked it out, and it had the clips and stuff, but I couldn't even figure out how to follow a podcast itself.
Right.
And then later I heard about it again, and I'm like, well, I'll try it out, because one of the things I feel like is so many things out there, you know, creators end up beholden to advertisers, and whether they like your stuff or not. So with Fountain FM, it takes it directly to the audience to be able to support the creators and tell them what they like or don't like just right. through small monetary rewards. And you can also reward your listeners by sending them tips. And I also love another thing on it is they have this clip feature where you can go in there, and if something really stands out to you uh-huh. in a podcast, maybe you like listening to podcasts that are 3 hours long, but your friends don't,
right?
And you really want them to hear this 5-10 minutes of this show, you can clip that out and send that very specifically. So that's what got me into it. And then when I put my podcast up on there, I got to looking at their advertising model, because the way it works is you are actually paying people to come and listen to you. And then if they like what they hear, then they can join you and continue. And then they can also pay you to listen as well. Yeah. So it's kind of an interesting setup.
Yeah. And I was screwing around with that too, ran a small promotion and got a couple fans out of it that I wouldn't have had elsewhere. And so I imagine same thing goes with you. It's like, well, boy, this is like, this is rich resource here. If, you know, I don't have, you know, you can just, I mean, I was thinking about it this morning. I'm like, when my kids get old enough to the point where this is something that I can do for them, is I can just put like children's books on, you know, whatever device is there now, and then put it through the speakers and they can, you know, fall asleep kind of like a lullaby.
Right.
So that's what I had in mind anyway. But I think there's all sorts of things that we can do with not only, like I say, Fountain, but just children's books in general. It's you know, a long road trip, for instance. You know, I haven't had the chance to do it yet with my children because they like the screens, you know, more than anything. But that's my goal. Yeah, that's my goal, to get them to listen to stuff like this.
Yeah, when my kids were little, there was a point that Wendy's had some audiobooks on CDs that came in the Happy Meals.
Okay.
And so that was something we enjoyed listening to on long trips. And of course, we had four of them. There were only four stories that they handed out, and those got worn out. So having a variety would have been nice.
Yeah. So you mentioned that you listened to, well, Fountain.fm, let's be clear that the payment is in Bitcoin or pieces of Bitcoin called Satoshi. And you say that you listen to a podcast called Bitcoin Audible. And is that you mentioned Guy Swan. Is that his podcast, Bitcoin Audible?
Yes.
Okay.
Guy Swan is Bitcoin Audible. And that he also was a bit of an encouragement for me on this.
Right.
Because Bitcoin Audible started out with him just literally all he was doing was reading articles about Bitcoin. Because
Audible the app.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, got it.
But although it's not the Audible app. It's
It's the idea, theme.
Yes. And so he's reading about Bitcoin, and he would just read Bitcoin articles because he had thought, I really wish there was someone out there who would read these so I could just listen to them as I'm going, and couldn't find it. So he decided to start it.
There you go.
And I think that was in like 2018. So he has a ton of information. Is a great place to just really start going and learning what exactly Bitcoin is.
Right.
The fundamentals, the ideals behind it, not just the technical stuff. And the technical stuff still goes over my head, but just hearing it kind of helps me have a better understanding.
Right. I'm there with you. Don't worry. I'm right there with you.
Right. I'm kind of an idiot Bitcoiner, but I do see value in it. So
this is an interesting thing. You've got a classic children's book narrator who is a modern day Bitcoiner. And this, that's not a Venn diagram that happens a whole lot. Would you agree, Trista?
Well, I think that there's a lot of, with Bitcoin and learning about it, there's really a lot of very old classic principles to it.
Oh, yeah.
Just brought into a modern age, you know?
Right.
So I think it's more about the willingness to think about things and to dig into things and go where the rabbit hole takes you.
Mm-hmm. So are you evangelizing? You got another Bitcoin podcast in mind, I imagine, to evangelize Bitcoin, or no?
there's a lot of Bitcoin podcasts out there.
Yeah, you're right.
So there is one that I do like that's flirting with Bitcoin. That's a couple, and it's really cute and more surface. So for people who are still learning and not really sure what to think of it, it's a really good one because the wife in it is learning and the husband's more of the Bitcoiner evangelizing his wife. So, and it's really cute. I listen to them all the time, but other ones most other ones I kind of come and go, and cause you only have so much room.
Right.
But those two,
so many hours in a day and so many hours that you can devote to listening. I'm running into that now. You know, the more in books the same way, you know, it's like the more I find interesting, the more I need to really concentrate on my own time management to carve out even a few minutes for such and such a show or, you know, a particular book or whatever it might be. And, you know, so anyway, I've been getting into time management a lot more lately because I just see the more and more stuff I have, I, you know, tend to need to really hone down on what it is exactly. And like make each minute count, frankly. And that's a big thing. But anyway, you mentioned to me a while ago in a conversation when we were first talking about this project several months ago, actually, that this iteration of your podcast, the Classic Children's Books, was you had either envisioned it a long time ago or had a couple in the can that you did years ago, if I'm recalling correctly.
Yeah, I started trying to play around with this back in 2020.
Okay.
And my mom had just passed away, and my husband ended up unemployed from the pandemic.
Oh, boy.
So we don't have to get into all that, but because that's a story in and of itself. But I was really struggling both with the quality of it and having a background in theater. I really wanted to put out something good. So I was struggling with that, and I tried it a couple times and got just a couple episodes out that then something or another got distracted, didn't get back to it. And so that's a big part of the reason I did jump into the Tom Woods School of Life is I was looking for accountability to help me as well as maybe some technical help with how to actually have a decent quality. And of course I'm still working on that. And
it's a struggle for
learning
sure.
curve.
No. And it, you know, you learn stuff as you go. It, you know, you're doing
right.
a number of things, right? You're doing the podcast, but you're also doing the production. I do the same thing. So, you know, we figure all that out as we go kind of thing. And, you mentioned
I'm constantly learning something new.
And so you mentioned two things here in that last response that I find quite interesting. You mentioned you have a theater background and I believe a theater degree too, right?
Yes, I do. So, I actually was really big in theater back in high school. I was homeschooled for junior high and high school, and we got into a group. We had over 100 kids, and we put on a musical or a Shakespeare play every year. And so then my mom told me I had to go to college, and I told her, I'm going to be a stay-at-home mom. I don't need to do that. And she's like, so she kind of sneakily enrolled me into a college class, a summer intensive Shakespeare class. And I fell in love with the school and ended up going and getting my degree in theater. So I have a BFA in theater with an emphasis in technical theater.
Great.
But then I got pregnant while I was still in school. I, you know, got married, got pregnant, had a baby, and was like, okay, I guess I'm raising kids now.
Well, you got your hands full, that's for sure. And you also mentioned the Tom Woods School of Life. And like I said, that's where I first got introduced to you and your show. And so do you want to talk real quick or however long you want to take? Because, you know, the people that I meet through Tom's school on this show, we kind of want to talk about their origin story. If for nothing else, just I find it interesting. So how did you got to get involved with Tom or, you know, find him for the first time or however you want to go with that question?
Well, back in 2008, I used to be very much standard Republican voter, didn't really pay attention to things. But then with the bank bailouts and everything, my husband and I, we really started looking at everything that was going on. And so then we kind of started exploring third parties, and I did not – discover Tom Woods or anything at that point. But then when 2012 rolled around, I discovered Ron Paul and Tom Woods and several others at that point, and it got heavily involved. My husband listened to Tom Woods all the time because he was into podcasts back then, but I wasn't.
Right.
Where I campaigned for Ron Paul in Missouri, was a delegate to the District 5 of Missouri as well as to state for Ron Paul. So that was a lot of fun, and I learned a lot about the political system. Then we ended up moving for a job and all sorts of stuff, kind of lost track of people. And then in 2020, really started getting back into stuff. And my husband had got me figured out how to listen to podcasts. And so I was really starting to listen to a lot of podcasts and was like, oh, yeah, there was this Tom Wood guy we used to listen to once in a while. And so I started listening to him regularly again, as well as some others, where I was trying to figure out what on earth was going on in the world.
Uh-huh.
And through that, because I'd heard Tom Woods off and on through the years, but hadn't been an avid listener. But he just always has great guests and information. And so when he started talking about the School of Life, and I've been feeling kind of lonely without having a lot of people who share ideals. I think you found
the right club there, Trista. a lot of people feeling lonely.
Yeah. Right. And it has really been, it's been great to have the group of people that you meet with regularly and share your struggles and your successes and get advice when you're not sure which direction to go. So I'm not sure what else to say. I mean, it just,
no, yeah.
I think it's been a really good experience.
Well, great. Yeah. And what, I mean, I guess if you want to share what has been your biggest success that you, in this case, would directly tie to the Tom Woods School of Life?
Well, honestly, just staying on this podcast, I have my ups and downs where I might get a little behind on it, but it's helped me to not give up when things get tough. Having four kids, homeschooling the youngest three, just life.
Yeah, you got a full.
I get overwhelmed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think we all do to some degree. But I was kind of expecting the answer of, oh yeah, I got my podcast out finally. But no, it's the attitude, it's the grit and determination that you've found, or touched on a little more within yourself. And I find that pretty interesting. And I think what happens is when people start really examining their life or their business and they say, well, how can I get it better? Well, you have to like kind of dig within to some degree and find something within yourself. And then it takes oftentimes other people, whether they know it or not, they can help you find that, same thing goes. Personal interaction, reading books, listening to podcasts. The more and more you're really kind of tuned in to what you want out of things, I think you find that. And I find that a really enlightening answer, that because you kind of went somewhere that I didn't think you were going to go.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, I think if anything, the lockdowns and everything should have taught everyone is that we do need each other, and we need to be able to lean on each other for support, and that isolation is not good for humankind.
No, it causes all sorts of problems. I mean, it's good to some degree. You know, Aaron Rodgers famously went into a darkness retreat a few weeks ago, and to clear his mind. But he plays on a team with 53 other guys on a regular basis. So you can't be isolated all the time. You know, that just doesn't work in professional football. But
no, we definitely do need time down, but not to that extent. We need to be able to have people we can reach out to.
And this is, the Tom Woods School of Life, for instance, is one of a couple communities I've found online that you come together once a week, really, or a couple times a week with other people, if you want to or not. I mean, it's all up to you, right? And but again, you're talking about the shared values, and you're talking about shared experience, with a lot of people, whether they live in your town or not. I mean, I'm friends now with people all over the world, frankly, and it's pretty neat to to have that. And you can just hop on a computer, like I'm sitting at my desk doing my work, and I can just hop on the computer or telephone or whatever and chat with people halfway across the world, 12-hour time difference or whatever. It's amazing. So, I find that the way Tom has done that has been, or been able to grab people from all sorts of different places. And I was going to say disparate walks of life, but it's all kind of the same walk of life. It's just disparate places over the globe.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, hopefully Tom pays me big money for that. But so anyway, let's get back to your podcast. Where are you in the first Lang book as far as finishing the Lang book?
I want to say I'm working on episode 13 off the top of my head. Because I do kind of touch base with future episodes too as I'm going. So sometimes keeping it track of it's hard. But there are 37 stories total in the first book.
Okay.
And so that's a lot. And I'm currently working on a Norwegian tale called Mastermaid. There's actually a lot of Norwegian tales in this one. And they're ones that I have never heard before. And they've actually been some of my favorite ones. They're awesome. A little different than I'm used to. So.
Okay. So we haven't talked about it yet, but do you have a website or a place we can turn our dear listeners on to your classic children's books series podcast?
I am trying to get my website going, but that's one of those things that I am not good at all, and I'm trying to figure it out. I do have the domain name parked right now.
Okay.
That I have classicchildrensbookspodcast.com parked. I'm going to try really hard to over the weekend, see if maybe if my husband can help me with maybe at least just getting a landing page that can point to where you can find my podcast and everything. But that's been one of those areas that I've not done a good job following through on.
Yeah, well, I hear you.
But so I have it. It's just parked.
Okay. Well, so if we just go to any podcatcher, I guess it is, we can find, you just type in classic children's books. I mean, I got the link directly from you. So, but anyway, just type it in.
Type in classic children's books podcast. Most of the big name ones, I should be easy to find. If they use any of the aggregators, cause I go through Anchor, which is part of Spotify now. So it's definitely on Spotify. I discovered over Christmas that I was not on Apple, and I thought I was because my mother-in-law uses an iPhone, so she couldn't find it. And thankfully, with that, I figured out how to get on Apple. But so I know Apple
you podcast, and Spotify. You podcasters out there, you need to submit to these major ones and these major things separately. Mm-hmm. It doesn't automatically populate. And it's not all too clear, as you've found out the hard way, kind of.
Yeah.
That you gotta do the stuff that you don't like to do. I find that very hard to do. Like I with my stuff, the stuff I don't like to do. I like talking. I like talking to people, and so I really like doing that. But then, you know, on the back end, like making sure like all this other stuff is going correctly. I had, for instance, a few weeks ago, my podcasts weren't even uploading to I and then they got lost in the server or whatever. And, you know, I'm like constantly on the email with the tech people, and they finally fixed it. Thank goodness. But, you know, if you're not paying attention and you just put it out and kind of do your workflow, you could be missing something, just like this thing with Apple. But we want to direct you to Trista's show on fountain.fm, I believe. And the same thing goes there. Do we just type in classic children's books podcast, and then we'll find your show on Fountain? And I would say before you answer yes or no on that one, Trista, fountain.fm, the real functionality is on a mobile device. as opposed to the desktop. They're working on that, I think.
Yeah, it works great on mobile. Yeah. I have looked at it a couple times on desktop, but pretty much do it. But yeah, I can definitely be found on Falcon FM when you just go into the search mode for podcast. And occasionally you will find mine in the promotion where it'll pop up on your homepage asking you if you want to listen, because I do run ads from time to time over there to get new listeners. And I've even found that when I run the ads over there, that the amount of listeners I ended up getting over an ad session, that only about 75% end up coming from Falcon, just by the value of having more listeners there. About 25% are coming from the other areas like Spotify and Apple and such, because the podcast, they do notice when you're getting all the aggregators notice when you are getting listened to on other apps.
Right.
And so therefore then we'll start showing you up more somehow. I don't know how it works. I just know it does.
Okay. Yeah. And I think that's something to explore for sure for different podcasts. I've been looking into that too, because my, my numbers are wildly different. Like they're constantly changing and up and down. Like I wouldn't even say a sine or cosine curve. They're just like jagged mountains, for the most part. I'm working on that. And if you know, I think like you said, I don't know how it works, but once I do figure it out, then I'll be able to tell people about it. And right now I'm just going with doing the work, putting it out on a regular basis, and go from there. So like for you, as far as that goes, you're pretty consistent, at least once a month, right? Or so far, at least once a month.
Yeah.
You mentioned in the last little bit, there might have been some hiccups, but pretty consistent. So I think that's a key.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and I'm going to be working on getting back to the consistency I want to.
Good.
But
good.
Probably in the next few days, I'll have the next episode out.
All right, that's awesome. And you've mentioned to me that your daughter helps you out with some of the production. Is that correct? And you kind of kick her some of that,
yes,
that share of whatever Satoshi might come your way?
Yeah, that's my 16-year-old daughter actually was interested in helping me out. And so I go through and get it to where I want, like the director's cut is what I call it. And then I hand it off to her.
Right on.
And she is actually doing the technical editing in order to save me time. So that I can keep focusing on moving forward and doing more.
And being a mom.
Exactly. Especially, you know, I'm homeschooling them. And so this kind of works as a school project for her too.
Yeah.
But one of the great things on Falcon is that when people do choose to stream Satoshis or even Boost, which is like a tip, and when you Boost, you can also leave comments. And so therefore the podcaster will know what you actually like about their show, which is great because some of the other ones either don't have that or it is really hard to figure out where to look for that stuff. If you're a podcaster, finding the feedback is not fun on most sites. But so with Falcon, you can take and do a split on the show and they have a small fee that comes out automatically that goes to them. I want to say like 5%. And then you can take the rest of it and split it to anyone you want. So my daughter gets 10% of anything that someone sends my way via streaming or Boost
for her
editing of the show.
Right on.
And you can also do that, like if you have a guest on one show that you want to send some.
Yeah, we've had a couple Bitcoiners on this show, and I don't even know if they know it or I told them, but I put. Whatever split going their way, and the same thing's going to happen to you, Trista. So like you promote my show, free money for you. How about that?
Exactly. And it's episode per episode. So you can change every single one. It's so easy.
Right.
You can also do it. Like if you wanted to, if a charity accepted Bitcoin through the Lightning Network, you could set that up. You know, it's great because it's automatic and no middleman.
Yeah. No, I think it's awesome, and I think you're on the right track, being the Bitcoining mom reading classic children's books. I don't know if that'll be the title, but like it's a pretty remarkable story, and I think you're on the right track, and been much appreciated having you on the show here this morning, and or this afternoon or tonight, whenever you're listening to this. That's, again, the beauty of podcasting. You can listen at any time. But is there any other social media or anything like that that we can point the folks toward, or just the podcast itself?
Right now, just the podcast.
Right on.
Because I don't really have anything else set up. I kind of gave up on Facebook a long time ago. Haven't been good at figuring out
other
one. So
yeah, that's fine. All right. So we'll point you toward Classic Children's Books Podcast. And you can find that on pretty much any podcatcher. If you can't find it, go to another podcatcher. We prefer you go to Fountain.fm for Trista's podcast, Classic Children's Books. And Trista, I'll give you the last word if you have anything else.
Well, if you come and listen to my podcast, we can go on an adventure turning through the pages of old books that are both well-known and nearly forgotten.
There you go. That's nice and succinct. And I said it was going to be the last word, but I gotta send people out. So appreciate your time, folks. And thanks to Trista here. And we'll see you on the next O'Leary Review podcast. Thanks again. Bye-bye. Thanks again for taking your time to listen to the O'Leary Review podcast. And for more resources and links to all my stuff, briandoleary.com is where you'll find me. We have links for our Substack page and more. Again, that's briandoleary.com.